FM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. House Speaker Mike Johnson says he has the votes to pass the massive spending and budget bill. That vote, though, on hold, with Democratic leader Hakeem Jeffries still on the House floor in a marathon speech now in its seventh hour.
The bill would extend and expand the 2017 tax cuts and hugely ramp up spending on border security and immigration enforcement. Republican holdouts dropped their objections overnight. The Congressional Budget Office estimates some 12 million Americans could lose their coverage as a result of changes in the bill to Medicaid and the Affordable Care Act. Stephen Portnoy, ABC News, Washington.
The new jobs report shows U.S. employers added 147,000 jobs last month. That's more than 20,000 more jobs than what analysts projected. Today, marking the biggest getaway day of the 4th of July holiday weekend, AAA expects more than 72 million Americans to drive and fly this year. The TSA says 51,000 flights are scheduled to take off just today. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call has announced a court order to stop the Trump administration from blocking access to public health and social service programs. The multi-state lawsuit filed in May sought to block Department of Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy from eliminating more than a dozen agencies and firing 10,000 employees. The coalition argued the changes immediately endangered lives and left crucial systems in chaos. The cuts would have affected the CDC, Center for Tobacco Products, and the Office of Head Start. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding residents to boat responsibly if they plan to get out on the water for the holiday weekend. According to a press release, the four leading causes of watercraft crashes are inexperience, not paying enough attention, general recklessness, and speeding. Officials also say most people who drown in boating-related accidents know how to swim, but become incapacitated or weighed down in the water. Residents out on the water should stay sober and always wear a life jacket for their own safety. Burnett County officials are advising residents of a boat landing closure in Oakland Township. According to a press release, the Devil's Lake boat landing will be closed for about 45 days beginning on July 21st. The closure is part of a reconstruction project, which will see the installation of a new boat ramp, the replacement of the aging restroom building, and the repavement of the driveway. County officials also say the project will force them to partially close the parking lot area from July 16th to July 20th to set up the necessary equipment for the project. Wisconsin Credit Union has announced the start date for their annual summer food drive aimed at helping kids who no longer have access to school meals. According to a press release, the organization announced that all of their offices will be participating in this year's Schools Out summer food drive from July 7th to July 19th. The company has offices across western Wisconsin, including Eau Claire, St. Croix, Polk, Washburn, and Barron counties. Both non-perishable food items and monetary donations will be accepted through the food drive. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Mets beat the Miz. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. The Brewers' Jacob Mazurowski was off to one of the best starts for a pitcher in the history of baseball. Last night, though, he ran into a little trouble, loaded the bases, then gave up a grand slam. The Mets beat the Brewers 7-3. Pat Murphy on why he had to pull Mazurowski out after 3 2/3 innings.
Ball wasn't coming off his fingers the same way. It was kind of like one time he'd let it go back here, the next time out here, and you could see he was pushing it sometimes. And his whole body was not in sync.
So now Mizorowski's record is 3 wins and 1 loss. Earlier in the day, the Brewers beat the Mets 7-2. Home runs by Sal Frelick, Isaac Collins, and Joey Ortiz hit his first career grand slam, giving credit to teammate Freddy Peralta.
You see it from the offense when the starting pitcher is doing what he can out there to get us back in to go swing. I mean, the offense usually stays locked in all game, and the process is more important than the results at times, so you just kind of got to grind through.
That's Brewers shortstop Joey Ortiz with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
We have a slight chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm later today and tonight. Otherwise, mostly sunny today with a high right around 85 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll drop into the low to mid 60s. Tomorrow, sunny, hot, and humid with a high in the upper 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 78.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
PJ Leash, the bug guy, he heads the entomology department at UW-Madison, and we are talking ticks.
When a deer tick transmits Lyme disease, it takes 36 hours, so about a day and a half. And that's why, in my mind, one of the single best things you can do as a precaution is to do regular tick checks. Because you've removed it, your risk goes down greatly to basically zilch.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, happy 4th of July. We have a specially curated Matinair on air for you, but Free Ticket Fridays is happening. I hope you'll join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Visit redcrossracing.com to find a Red Cross blood drive near you and make your appointment to donate.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, welcome to the second hour of our program. On the line with us, our buddy Phil Itner, the veteran war correspondent based out of Kyiv, Ukraine, host of the brilliant On the Edge podcast, his video blog over on Twitter, or excuse me, on YouTube. Philip Itner, P-H-I-L-I-P-I-T-T-N-E-R. Itner Philip, the reverse of that is his handle on Blue Sky and Twitter. And Phil, welcome back to the program. How are you doing, and how is Kyiv? How is Ukraine this week?
Well, I mean, we're still getting hit harder than usual as the world's attention has been pulled away from this place because of the Iran-Israel conflict, and of course, you know, the NATO conference. But we continue to be get air raid sirens daily. Monday of this week, Sunday into Monday, we were we were under massive attack. They have been hitting around the country with very little attention from the international community because, you know, the sad reality is that there's other news. There are other shiny keys that will be dangled in front of the world's attention, and Ukraine has gotten to a point where even while, you know, people are being killed in transit trains, don't even come close to getting a headline.
Wow. Now, I understand that there's a potential debt crisis in Moscow. Are you familiar with this?
I've heard a bit of this, yes. We shall see. I am always skeptical and cautious when we talk about Russian economic, coming to a cliff. Mm-hmm. Because that's Putin and his government have been able to manipulate their economy quite well. The sanctions are not being fully implemented, so they have a number of different ways of circumventing the sanctions. So I'm always of the mind when there is speculation that the Russian economy is just on the verge of collapse to say, I'll believe it when I see it. Not to say that I am skeptical that that is going to happen. I do believe 100% that it will happen. I don't know when that will be, and none of us do, frankly. Yeah. Economists can speculate all they want, and Kremlin watchers can speculate all they want. God knows I'm one of them. But at the end of the day, the reality will be the thing that dictates what happens.
But apparently
with
Putin's
Russians,
paying for his
Russians
war general. With debt, right?
Oh, yeah. No, he's been doing that for a while.
Yeah.
And he's and also the entire economy has been built upon a war footing. So the GDP in Russia is based on the war economy. It is you're making munitions, you're making strategically important or, you know, well, strategically important, you know, industries. They are getting bolstered. But how long can that continue with the economy as it is, with taxation and the real GDP? Mm-hmm. Because you also have to understand that Russia's GDP is not actually known, because they operate in a gray economy, not a black economy, not an open economy, a gray economy. They manipulate figures. They are in a kleptocracy, so they can always, you know, change the figures and the facts. When it happens, we will see it. We will know it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's imminent. I've had it, you know, said to me that it's imminent in the past, and that has yet to come to fruition. But eventually, they cannot continue to do this. So it's at one point, yes, they're going to crack.
Yeah, I totally get it. And speaking of gray economies, I heard this morning in NPR that 18% of the world's oil shipments right now are Iranian and Russian oil that is supposed to be embargoed, but they're running it through this fleet of ships.
The shadow fleet.
The shadow fleet. Yeah, tell us about that. And you know, why is the world not doing anything about this?
Well, they should be. But they are addicted to fossil fuels, and the web that it surrounds that industry. I mean, even to the point of, we apparently just this week had two Russian tankers flying under a different flag, but coming from Russian ports filled with fossil fuels, being escorted through the English Channel by a Russian warship, and the British didn't do anything about it. That's not me being hypercritical of the British, because what are they going to do? You know, but it is a clear indication that Russia continues to circumvent the sanctions, and they are still able to get an awful lot of money from some very shady deals with the shadow fleet, with their sales to countries that don't necessarily care.
Yeah, it seems
about
like most of this
breaching
is going to Russia and India, isn't it?
India and China are primarily the
China and India.
India and China are primarily the benefactors of the Russians circumventing the oil industry. Mm-hmm. And that is why it's been so disturbing to see actually the bill that was put forward in the Senate, and still is there, to my understanding, that would punish third country parties that benefited from the sale of sanctioned Russian fossil fuels. And that seems to be right now in a bit of a limbo. It's Blumenchuk and Graham, Lindsey Graham, who put that, and it's just in a bit of a kind of limbo. But we need to do that. We need to crack down on their shadow fleet, because until you make the cost of this war unbearable for Russia, they'll keep doing it. And they've made that perfectly clear.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, on NPR this morning, they said basically no country is willing to confront Russia over this and seize a ship, that would create an international incident that everybody's afraid
but they
to
should.
Leave to war. I agree with you. I completely agree with you. Meanwhile, Trump yesterday or day before yesterday, I guess, whichever day it was.
Daddy Trump.
When he was at NATO, he was asked by a Ukrainian journalist who told him how her husband is, you know, in Ukraine and fighting the war and all that kind of stuff. She asked if he would sell Patriot missiles. Of course, you know, Europe gave Ukraine $15 billion to buy Patriot anti-aircraft missiles from the United States. So far, Trump has refused to sell them to Ukraine, as much as he likes to brag about, I cut a deal and I brought money back to America. Any progress on this? I haven't heard anything. I'm guessing it was just more BS.
I mean, he said after apparently about a 50-minute meeting as a bilateral meeting along the NATO conference with Zelensky, he came out of that and he said that they would be open to the idea of selling more or providing, I suspect, if it being Trump, it would ultimately be a sale, Patriot missile systems, which we desperately need. Yeah. We desperately need air defense. We have been, while the world has been preoccupied with this Mishegas in the Holy Land, in Israel and Iran, the 12-day war. Meanwhile, we have been getting pummeled here. And I very much doubt, Tom, that this has been on any front page headline of any newspaper in the world, in America. We have been getting absolutely pummeled. On Sunday going into 2 weeks, so 2 weeks ago, we had a really bad attack. This last week, Sunday going into Monday, we had drones, Shahad drones. I could hear them in my apartment. And I live in downtown Kiev, which of all places in this country should be the most fortified air defense location in the country. And I heard Shahids, the Iranian-based drone that Russia employs here, off my balcony. Wow. And explosions and aircraft, anti-aircraft munitions going up into the sky.
I'm seeing reporting that Russia has launched over 28,000 of these Iranian
drones. It's been insane.
Are they slowing down now that Iran has been kind of bogged down with Israel?
No, because the Russians have actually taken the technology and they have their own factory outside of Rostov. They have another factory that, just incidentally, and not to go too deeply into it, but they also just hit a drone factory in a place called Taganrog, and that was really significant. I mean, the Ukrainians continue to actually be militarily very successful.
Mm-hmm. You mean the Ukrainians just struck a Russian drone factory?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. But they have a stockpile of these Shahids, and they have a factory outside of Rostov where they produce them, which probably has very intense air defense. So I don't think the Ukrainians are going to try and do it with a drone or anything. They might do it with sabotage. Yeah. But we have had these drones flying into Kiev for the last 2 weeks, ever since Operation Spiderweb, this Ukrainian operation which stunned the world. And it's we need Patriot missiles. So if somehow Zelensky was able to
Trump's ego and get Patriots,
I don't care. Yeah, that's what it takes. Live in Kiev. I live in Kiev. I just want Patriots.
Yeah, I get it.
I want them desperately.
Yeah, and apparently the NATO guys figured this out because they all were stroking his ego, and suddenly he's, I like NATO now. The guy behaves like a Pitiful. 7-year-old. It's amazing. Phil Itner, check out his podcast, On the Edge. Thank you, Phil.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
So what happens when cops look like criminals and a crazy alert? Bob Kennedy's at it again. I'll be right back with you. You trust your deodorant? Most deodorants just don't work for us working guys. But then Mando rolled into town, ready to tackle all over odors before they even start. Mando created high-performance deodorants for whole-body odor control. Safe for your pits, packages, and feet, Mando's science-based formula is pH-optimized, capable of blocking odors before they start. Deodorants you're used to using just mask odors or neutralize them after they form, but Mando is powered by mandelic acid, clinically proven to work all day long. Developed by doctors, it's hypoallergenic and skin-safe for your sensitive parts. You can use Mando all over and leave your odor worries behind. Give Mando a go and see why guys are loving it. If it's not for you, they'll gladly refund you within 60 days. Smell better longer with Mando. Get 20% off site-wide on your first Mando purchase with the code TOM, T-H-O-M, at shopmando.com. Plus, shipping is always free. That's 20% off site-wide for first-time customers with the code TOM at shopmando.com. Shopmando.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Thomas Jefferson is credited with most of the text of the Declaration of Independence, but the independence part came from a Virginian named Richard Henry Lee on June 7, 1776. The First Continental Congress sent a list of grievances in 1774 to King George III, among them the loss of their rights under English law, the occupation by British forces in peacetime, and the oppressive coercive acts passed by Parliament to shut down colonial unrest. The King and Parliament didn't respond other than to pass more restrictive laws. By mid-May 1776, 8 colonies supported independence, including Virginia, which directed its delegates to support independence at the Second Continental Congress. Virginia delegate Richard Henry Lee, on June 7th, presented his resolution for independence to the Congress in Philadelphia, which tabled action until July 2nd. In the interim, Thomas Jefferson, with light editing by Benjamin Franklin and John Adams, crafted a statement which would become the Declaration of Independence, which included Richard Henry Lee's Independence Resolution word for word. Resolved that these United Colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is, and ought to be, totally dissolved. Read the full Declaration of Independence at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Veal.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you too can live and serve part-time, close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmanReport.com, where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmanReport.com.
They came for Ukraine in the dead of night. A sovereign land lit by freedom's light. Sirens wailed as the skies turned red. But Ukraine stood while the cowards fled. Homes were shattered, dreams set ablaze. Yet through the smoke, the blue and yellow sways. A mother clings to a photograph. Ukraine still breathes. knows this truth is known. We stand with Ukraine. They're not alone.
24 minutes past the hour. So what happens when your police don't dress like police? What happens when the cops just wear street clothes and cover their face with masks and don't carry badges and don't have names on their jackets and drive around in vehicles that don't even have license plates, or if they do, they're just pedestrian vehicles? How do you know they're cops? Well, you don't. And what happens when that happens? Well, here's what's happened. Two Temple University students wearing shirts with the words police and ICE in white lettering were arrested on Sunday when they tried to get into the Johnson and Hardwick residence halls. They said that they were going to harass people that they thought might be immigrants or who were in the country on student visas. That's Temple University. This now is at Sullivan's Island in South Carolina. Sean Michael Emmerich Johnson was jailed on Friday for felony kidnapping, impersonating a law officer, and two other misdemeanors. Johnson turned himself into officers following a viral video showing him berating a Hispanic individual while shouting, "You're going back to Mexico!" He took the driver's car keys away while shouting at the men in the vehicle, leading to a widespread community backlash. That's two. Number three, Carl Thomas Bennett Jr. Was arrested for sexually propositioning an immigrant woman at a local motel in Raleigh, North Carolina, after flashing a fake business card with a picture of a badge, according to WBTV. He allegedly threatened to deport her if she did not go along with his demands for sex. He's now facing charges of breaking, entering, and terrorizing to injure, kidnapping, and two counts of second-degree forced sex, among other charges. He successfully had sex with this woman. And those are just the three that, you know, have just bubbled up to the top of the news in the last 24 hours. When you have secret police, you have people imitating the secret police. And, you know, predators using that imitation. This is just so wrong. Meanwhile, Bob Kennedy wants to track all of us. This is totally weird. And his little vaccine committee is meeting, I believe, today. I'll share that with you right after the break, and I'll pick up your calls here. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
It's the True People's Media. Right back with your calls in just a minute. Stay with us. With us today is co-founder of Native Path Collagen, Dr. Chad Walding. So glad to have you with us. Tell us about your company.
Well, Native Path, we're a company that is really all about aligning human health with the way it's designed to eat, move, and live. You know, we look at the past 100 years and we see a consistent rise in disease, specifically metabolic disease. That rise has been happening despite all our advances in technology and medicine. We really recognize and appreciate the timeless principles that are really appropriate for humans and human health. And what we do as a company is we educate people on nutrition and movement and lifestyle, and we help provide supplements to help fill in the gaps of the vitamins, the nutrients, and minerals that are missing in the modern diet.
And you do this with Native Path Collagen. What exactly is collagen?
Collagen is our hero product. That's the first product we came out with. And collagen is the most abundant protein in the body, right? It's what makes up the structure of your body, your tendons, your ligaments, the things that you look at, like your hair, your skin, your nails. It even makes up your bones and your gut lining. So it's extremely important to have collagen. And it's something that our ancestors would get plenty of with the way they ate, because they would eat nose to tail. They would take the bones of an animal. They would put it in a big pot with hot water and make broth. And that's how they would get collagen. But we're not getting near enough in our modern diet, because we're so bombarded with carbohydrates and fat, and not near enough quality protein, certainly not enough collagen. And collagen is something we produce on our own, but around the age of 20, that starts to decline. Around 50, it really starts to decline. When we're deficient in collagen, it accelerates the aging process, the weakening of the structure of our body. So it becomes really important to start supplementing with it as we get older. Consuming quality protein, specifically in the form of...
As many people plan their weekend celebrations, Midwest farmers prepare to battle the heat. I'm Kylie Allen, and you're tuning in to the Midwest Farm Report this Thursday before the holiday weekend. Dairy producers across the upper Midwest are seeing the effects of the weather in their milking parlor. Today, we hear from EverAg dairy broker and analyst Cody Koster. He says the recent and continuing warm temperatures are putting pressure on milk production.
It is. I've been talking to folks this week. We started out, I'd say 2 weeks ago, people were calling in saying they were down 10 to 15 pounds in the last 3 days. Where we have been in the low 90s here in the Midwest, in a lot of the parts, I've had folks call in tell me they are down 20 to 23 pounds a cow. And if you look going forward for the next 4 days, at least here in Michigan, we are 92 on Friday, 93 on Saturday, 93 on Sunday. It is going to be a hot stretch, and the problem is we are not cooling down at night. So fans are running 24/7, the cows are not catching up, and the feed is just not getting the intake that it usually does because it is so hot and muggy out right now.
Cody Koster along with us. He's a dairy broker and analyst for EverAg. If you want to join the conversation and let us know what's going on in your milking parlor, text us at 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Stick around. I've got a look at some of the news after this.
You know, the customers really tell the story of why Bavaria sausage is so special. Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yankee reminding you, you can shop online, BavariaSausage.com, or you can experience the real deal. It's at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg. They're open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1. I just swung down to enjoy their regular Friday brat fry. It's outside, but it happens rain or shine, and it features all the different flavors that Bavaria Sausage has made famous. And I'll tell you what, the customers spoke loud and clear about why they love Bavaria Sausage. It's the flavor. It's the ingredients. It's the snap of a really good brat or a really good knackwurst. That's what I enjoyed. Take a look online, BavariaSausage.com. Incorporate it into your upcoming events. Need something special? Contact them directly, BavariaSausage.com. We'll see you there.
We've got big news out of the state capitol in Madison here this morning as Governor Tony Evers signed the state budget. The Assembly Agriculture Committee chair is Travis Tranel. He says that the compromise is a good forward-looking budget. It includes big-ticket items such as meat processor expansion, agricultural road improvement program, and dairy processor grants. It also supports ongoing programs, nitrogen optimization, and watershed partnerships. Stay tuned to MidwestFarmReport.com this upcoming week for updates on what the state budget means for rural Wisconsin. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Kylie Allen.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
We have a slight chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm later today and tonight. Otherwise, mostly sunny today with a high right around 85 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll drop into the low to mid 60s. Tomorrow, sunny, hot, and humid with a high in the upper 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 78.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Indy Duttagupta, he is with the Center for Law and Social Policy.
The Trump administration's agenda is reducing economic growth. The programs that they're proposing cutting, like Medicaid and SNAP, especially for kids, actually more than pay for themselves. So we are really looking at a tough long-term economic outlook entirely created by the current policymakers.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
You can't afford to miss. So what are you waiting for? Get over to TomHartmann.com today and sign up for your TomCast now. Do it for yourself or you can do it for a friend. Go to TomHartmann.com to see just how easy it is. And thank you so much for all of your support.
Share the Tom Hartmann Program with your friends. Our podcast, The Hartmann Report, is absolutely free and available wherever fine podcasts are available. And the entire 3-hour podcast is available over at TomHartmann.com. Hey, it's summer. You know, campfires, late night conversations, people swapping stories. But lately, one group is trying to control the whole story, claiming the U.S. was founded as a, get this, Christian nation, and pushing their religion into classrooms, courtrooms, and even your doctor's office. In Arizona, voters just protected abortion rights in the state constitution, but politicians are trying to undermine it anyway. Texas is pushing bills to force the Ten Commandments into every public school classroom. Seriously. And in Congress, a bill just passed to strip Medicaid coverage for gender-affirming care for all ages. This isn't about personal beliefs. This is about power. And it's all happening under the banner of Christian nationalism. That's where the Freedom From Religion Foundation comes in. They've been defending church-state separation since 1978 in the courts and schools and wherever religion tries to take the wheel. If you believe government should serve everyone, not just the religious right, join them. Go to ffrf.us/freedom or text my last name, Hartman, with two N's to 511-511 to become a member today. Because the only story that should run this country is ours, not theirs. Text fees may apply.
A whisper grows and it's all you hear. From every screen it feeds the fire. Twisting truth to fuel desire. A mother's cry, a worker's loss. A calculated line they'll toss. They turn your pain into their gold. Selling grievance never gets old. The grievance machine is always on. Spinning stories just till dawn. The grievance machine. They say the danger's at your door. Immigrants.
6 minutes past the hour. Welcome back. Picking up your calls here. Paul in Ambler, Pennsylvania. Hey, Paul, what's on your mind?
Hi, Tom. I wanted to talk about the New York City Democratic primary for mayor and what's propelled the candidacy of the Democratic Socialists of America candidate to be the Democratic Party's standard bearer in their upcoming mayoral election. He went around and he talked to people in, you know, the different boroughs. And what he heard over and over and over again was, you know, the rent's too high. Groceries are squeezing us. They're just more expensive than they were just a few years ago. The city's just too expensive to live in. I need child care. That's also rocketed in expense to the point where it's difficult to get a job and also take care of your family. And, of course, you know, I think previous callers were talking about food co-ops or some sort of like public type of markets where food can be bought in a competitive manner and help bring the prices down. So overall, just the cost of living to be an American citizen is just beyond the reach of people with the wages that were being offered. I wanted to compare that in Philadelphia. We have a newly elected mayor. She just passed the city council $6.8 billion annual budget. And included in that is a $800 million municipal bond offering to help build or maintain and refurbish 30,000 units of affordable housing. And in Philadelphia, we don't use the term affordable housing as much as we say row houses. So that's where most people in the city live. They don't live in, you know, 5 or 6 story walk-up apartment houses. People are homeowners, and they might be modest, but you know what? They're very solid homes. They don't require a lot of maintenance, but they're old. The older ones need to be, you know, need new roofs or new wiring, whatever they might need. But some have fallen, and it's literally fallen into the ground, and they need to have new housing to replace them.
Sure.
So without calling themselves Democratic Socialists or anything, regular Democrats in Philadelphia are offering housing. We also offer universal child care. We have something called the soda tax. It's been in place for several years. $70 million a year is what comes from the soda tax, and it's dedicated to child care and also refurbishing the what we call the rec centers, the recreational centers, which are usually like a city block with a big ball field, an enclosed building where there might be a basketball court and maybe a swimming pool if you're lucky.
Mm-hmm.
But the facilities are upgraded. Millions of dollars have gone into them, even putting in air conditioning into some of the more recent renovations. So the point is, in across the country, you're going to find the Democratic Party doing the things of the so-called Democratic Socialists of America, but they're just not using the word socialist.
Yeah.
And I think what people need to understand, in you know, among your listenership, the absolute enormous scale of this country, the issues are the same, but how they're approached can vary. So the people who are the regular Democrats still vote for this stuff and they'll stay in power.
Yeah.
Philadelphia has basically wiped out the Republican Party in all elective offices. They just don't exist.
Because Democrats are delivering.
They're delivering housing, child care.
Yeah.
And that budget doesn't even include the public schools.
Yeah, this is where there is such an opportunity. I mean, Clinton and Obama, talking federally here now, both had an opportunity to roll back Reaganism and neoliberalism, and both chose not to do it. They both chose to basically embrace big corporations and billionaires. You know, they did some good stuff along the way, but by and large, we are still operating, or at least were until the Biden presidency, within the framework of the Reagan revolution. And now we're back in it again. And because we really never pulled out of it. We need to get our top income tax rate back up to 70% or 80% and the top corporate rate back up to 50%. We need to outlaw stock buybacks. And I mean, there's some and do away with, you know, big money in politics, but some very straightforward, simple stuff that I think would put the country back on track. But the Democrats now have an opportunity to go full in to, you know, I mean, I keep saying this. The Democrats wanted Bernie in 2016. The Clinton machine said no. Democrats wanted Bernie in 2020. The Clinton machine and their friends said no. You know, hell, I think, you know, Democrats wanted Bernie in 2008. Although that was, you know, mostly between Hillary and Barack Obama. But people have been ready for this for a long time.
They have. And even if the Democratic Party isn't, you know, the tip of the spear of leading some things, there's a lot of food co-ops in Philadelphia. One just opened up in a neighborhood called Germantown, which has a lot of low-income people, has crime, but they took over what was an old Acme supermarket from maybe the 50s that was on the main commercial corridor, as opposed to the big super, you know, gigantic parking lot surrounded by a store that's more typical today.
Mm-hmm.
That just opened up, and that's doing very well. So even people who, without the support of the city council and the mayor, have on their own for the last several decades gone out and started housing co-ops, credit unions, and other such nonprofit organizations.
Yeah.
We have an enormous amount of credit unions in Philadelphia. One of the biggest credit unions in the country is the Navy Federal, $190 billion bank.
Wow.
And if anybody in your listeners has anybody, you know, their granddad was in Vietnam, you know, their dad was in Iraq War or more recently in Afghanistan, have them join the Navy Federal Credit Union.
Yeah.
And then they give it to their kids and then their kids can give it to their kids.
No, I get it.
All my children and my son and myself all have it because of my father from World War II.
Oh, that's great.
And $190 billion speaks for itself.
Totally. Paul, I got to move along, but thank you for the call. It's a lot of great information. Mike in Chicago. Hey, Mike, what's up?
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Fine, thank you.
I read something this morning, and it seemed kind of hard to believe that it hasn't really been that more widely reported. But on June 13th, the Army released a press release saying they had sworn in four top digital executives as lieutenant colonels in the Army.
Correct.
And they're calling it – have you heard of this?
Yeah, I wrote about it in my Saturday report, and I talked about it, I think, last Friday.
Oh.
It's an abomination. I mean, this is a new program where if you give over $1 million to one of Trump's slush funds – then you too can become an Army officer. You can get your own very own uniform and you know,
walk around military bases and force everybody to salute you.
Yeah, and they're calling it the Detachment 201, the Executive Innovation Corps, to drive
right.
tech.
You got to be, yeah, you got to be a tech executive to do it. And they've already given these military commissions to one of the senior executives at Google. As I recall, one of the senior executives at Meta, I think, and maybe
Palantir, OpenAI.
Yeah, and Palantir. Yeah, and I you know, it's just this is more insanity. It's actually more naked corruption from the Trump administration.
Yeah.
One rank away from
general, which is
yeah. There you go. Well, yeah, lieutenant colonel. You know, you got to work your way up to colonel, and then you head to general. But yeah, I'm with you, Mike. It's obscene. It's the privatization. This is Trump taking our assets and converting them into his cash. Mike, thanks for the call. It's 45 minutes past the hour.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Defending America from the weapons of mass deception. I'll be right back with you, friends.
You can get the incredible weight loss results that thousands of people have had with the top name brand prescription weight loss products, all in the comfort of your own home. With this free offer from New Hope Weight Loss, yes, generic versions of the popular weight loss prescription products are available now by you simply making a phone call. You'll save hundreds of dollars over traditional retail pricing. When you call right now, you'll speak with one of our virtual doctors and they'll provide your prescription and we'll send you your medication. It's that easy. And you'll be on your way to your weight loss journey in a matter of days. And when you order today, we'll waive the $100 doctor's fee. This product is not covered by your insurance. It's only $199 a month. Call right now to learn more.
800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Thomas Jefferson is credited with most of the text of the Declaration of Independence, but the independence part came from a Virginian named Richard Henry Lee on June 7, 1776. The First Continental Congress sent a list of grievances in 1774 to King George III, among them the loss of their rights under English law, the occupation by British forces in peacetime, and the oppressive coercive acts passed by Parliament to shut down colonial unrest. The King and Parliament didn't respond other than to pass more restrictive laws. By mid-May 1776, 8 colonies supported independence, including Virginia, which directed its delegates to support independence at the Second Continental Congress. Virginia delegate Richard Henry Lee, on June 7th, presented his resolution for independence to the Congress in Philadelphia, which tabled action until July 2nd. In the interim, Thomas Jefferson, with light editing by Benjamin Franklin and John Adams, crafted a statement which would become the Declaration of Independence, which included Richard Henry Lee's Independence Resolution word for word. Resolved that these United Colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is, and ought to be, totally dissolved. Read the full Declaration of Independence at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Tracy Ann Mangold, how would you describe what it is that Brian Schimming is caught in the crossfires of?
He's the first paid state chair that they've ever had. And so the belief was that maybe that'll increase his ability to fundraise for the state. Obviously, that has not worked out so well. I've been told that he thinks 4 phone calls a day to fundraise is a lot, which, you know, isn't.
104 might be a good start.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Now.
Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us. Welcome back. It's 10 minutes before the hour. Picking up your calls here, Steve in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hey, Steve, what's on your mind today?
Thanks for taking my call, Tom.
Sure. I
just said you got a comment on the town hall meetings. Yeah, you notice that the Republicans refuse to hold a town hall meeting.
Right. Yeah, this has been going on for a while now.
Yes, and I watched a video last week of Representative Stilwell from Texas. He's a Democrat, and he showed up at a Republican town hall meeting where there wasn't a representative.
Yeah.
He held the town hall meeting.
Yeah, Mark Pocan pioneered this back when the district next door to him was, represented by Paul Ryan back, you know, a decade or more ago. And this was when Mark first started coming on our program. And he started holding town halls in Paul Ryan's district because Paul Ryan never would. And, now a bunch of Democrats have taken a lesson from him. And, of course, Bernie's doing his anti-oligarchy tour and taking it. Bernie's going down to, or did he already go? I don't recall. Down to Mike Johnson's district in Louisiana.
To me, the Republican Party votes the way it does because they believe what they're told.
I agree.
But I want to know when they're telling them and who's doing the talking, because if you don't hold a town hall meeting, who are you talking to?
Yeah. Well, you're talking to the lobbyists. I mean, that's fairly obvious.
But, I mean, if I was a Democratic representative in Congress or the Senate, and I had people in my state, Republican people in my state, that would not hold a town hall meeting, no problem. I'll hold it for you.
Oh, every Democrat should be doing this. We've got maybe 20 Democrats that are out there doing this, and there should be 200. I'm with you. Steve, I need to move along, but I completely agree. Would I what?
Just think of the state of Florida. You could turn the
state
of Florida around.
No, I agree. We need a shadow cabinet, and we need every Democrat in the House and Senate to be holding town halls in the districts of their Republican colleagues. It's just, you know, and sadly, the Democratic Party doesn't appear to have any leadership, with its current DNC chair. Nobody's organizing this kind of stuff, and it's deeply disturbing. Steve, thanks for the call. Mike in Marietta, Georgia. Hey, Mike, what's on your mind today?
Got a question. Mm-hmm. You may have answered it already, but I had the idea the other day. These ICE agents with masks on, why do they want to be anonymous? Then it dawned on me, what are the Proud Boys doing after they got their pardon? Could we be looking at convicted felons with face masks on? Do you have any thoughts on who they might be?
I think that's extremely likely.
Okay.
We don't know who these people are. We don't know what kind of hiring is involved. The entire system and process is incredibly opaque. Pam Bondi and, Cosplay Christie and Tom Holman are not telling us, anything about what's going on. It's just absolutely wrong. And now you've got, civilians imitating ICE, very easy to do now since you don't even need ID, using that to literally to rape people and to rob people and to assault them. And it's just wrong. It's just wrong on every single level. Mike, thanks for the call. Emma in Seattle. Hey, Emma, what's on your mind today?
Hi there. I just wanted to address what you were talking about earlier related to Mom Dami's plan about city-run grocery stores.
Mm-hmm.
It is addressing food deserts, but it's also something cannier and much more reproducible also in other jurisdictions. It's a plan to break up monopolies and restrain profiteering due to preferential pricing from the large grocery distributors.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Lena Khan is campaigning with him. So the idea is that, you know, local bodegas, mom-and-pop groceries, even medium-sized grocery chains can't make it because of the anti-competitive practices of the kind of monopolist grocery distributors. And they collude with the mega chains and the giant corporations that have national presence. And
so it's the wholesalers who are screwing us.
Yeah, so they're paying less.
Yeah.
The giant corporations are paying way less for their wholesale groceries, and it's had a huge effect on independent and mom-and-pop, like, grocery stores. And that's one of the reasons we have food deserts, because those grocery stores can't make it in these conditions. So Mondami's plan, if he made a chain of 10, you know, was what he's talking about initially, of 10 city-run grocery stores, then the city of New York can become a plaintiff in an antitrust action against these wholesalers.
Oh.
And,
wow.
Right.
So, yes.
The reason
then he would have standing.
Right. Exactly. And the reason it's important is because, you know, there's so much profiteering right now. I think, you know, we have this thing we're calling inflation, but there's a more accurate term for it, which is profiteering. And
yeah, we're seeing the same thing in pharmaceuticals, where the middlemen are,
right, yeah,
you know, skimming off the top and wiping out everybody's. Yeah. Keep going.
Right. And so a crisis happens, like, you know, COVID supply chain issues happen. Mm-hmm. A crisis happens. They drive prices as far up as they can go to see how high they can get them. And then when the crisis passes, they keep the prices high. And then that money is going to shareholder dividends. It's not going into the businesses or back to consumers and amenities. You know, so it's profiteering and not inflation that's driving a whole lot of the pinch on regular working people's pocketbooks these
days.
Yeah,
and I
think
not just shareholder dividends. This is going to you know, giant bonuses for the CEOs and major senior executives.
Yeah.
And apparently the Republicans in the Senate want that to be considered tips so you don't pay taxes on it.
Right.
I mean, it's just the whole thing is just, and then they use it to buy back their stock, which jacks up the stock price. And again, you know, only benefits the senior executives and the shareholders. And arguably, even the shareholders aren't really benefiting because it should be a temporary sugar high, but
it
sure does help out the billionaires, and the CEOs, I mean, and the senior executives.
Right.
So yeah, good on Mamdani, and thank you, Emma, for informing us all about the details of that. I've seen articles referring to it, but I've never heard such a cogent explanation.
Matt Stoller has a Substack called Big that's about monopolies and antitrust. And
I'm familiar with it. I subscribe to it. Yeah. Emma, thank you very much. We're hitting the top of the hour. We'll be right back on the other side of the news, the other side of the break with more news of the day.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Most deodorants just don't work for us working guys. But then Mando rolled into town, ready to tackle all over odors before they even start. Mando created high-performance deodorants for whole-body odor control. Safe for your pits, packages, and feet, Mando's science-based formula is pH-optimized, capable of blocking odors before they start. Deodorants you're used to using just mask odors or neutralize them after they form, but Mando is powered by mandelic acid, clinically proven to work all day long. Developed by doctors, it's hypoallergenic and skin-safe for your sensitive parts. You can use Mando all over and leave your odor worries behind. Give Mando a go and see why guys are loving it. If it's not for you, they'll gladly refund you within 60 days. Smell better longer with Mando. Get 20% off site.
I love a day on the water with friends, but my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis sometimes holds me back. Now I'm all in with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi. Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy.
Teaching music is my passion, but my active psoriatic arthritis can limit me at times. Now I'm treating my joint symptoms with Skyrizi.
With Skyrizi, most people with plaque psoriasis saw 90% clearer skin at 4 months.
Or if you are an adult with active psoriatic arthritis, Skyrizi helps you move with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions, increased infections, or lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor about any flu-like symptoms or vaccines.
There's nothing like clearer skin.
There's nothing like better movement, and that means everything.
Ask your doctor about Skyrizi. Visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Efforts to delay the vote in the House on the GOP mega bill leading to Democratic leader Hakeem Jeffries to set a new record for floor speech, talking for more than 8.5 hours and still going. Jeffries criticized tax breaks for the wealthy and cuts to programs like Medicaid. Here's ABC's Jay O'Brien.
What we've seen Hakeem Jeffries and Democrats do is seize on those cuts in particular and mention the fact that this bill rolls back tax credits that were created during the Biden administration in the Inflation Reduction Act, in that large piece of legislation for wind and solar, which would have a serious impact on small businesses in this country who have seen a boon over the last few years because of those tax credits.
The House Speaker says he has the votes to pass it. President Trump held a call with Russia's leader today on the war in Ukraine. The Kremlin says no new talks are planned with Ukraine. Ukraine's President Zelensky, meantime, says he and President Trump will speak by phone tomorrow. This is ABC News.